A worm of silver with an amber head devoured Anna's middle finger, a finger that wrapped a musical pattern on the table. Despite her mother's best efforts, Anna was a better tapper than classical pianist, but those few lessons where Anna did manage to extract her four-year-old thumb from her mouth ensured a lifelong love of music. Anna's 27-year-old thumb and forefinger moved from the tabletop and into a brown paper bag. The fingers reappeared, gently pulling a record sleeve out into the din of De Graves, and black vinyl slid from its cover. Back at Polyester, a voice from behind the counter had said that it was Eric B. and Rakim's Paid in Full, 180 grams worth of virgin vinyl pressing. Anna could feel the extra weight as compared to her collection of Ripper 70 series. Her fingers caressed the top of the record, feeling for when the first track started, then across the grooves to where it widened for the chorus, and then to where it trailed off for the 2-second gap between tracks. Her mother never allowed her to touch the face of records. Apparently, records were only for listening. The stylish sunglasses perched on a slender nose were presumably for someone other than Anna's audience of a fascinated one-year-old. This mini-he ogled her tousled hair, the left bare shoulder, or perhaps it was the ample cleavage being offered so close to mealtime that had the child in a trance. Anna sneezed in sympathy. "Bless you," added a man in a neighbouring seat with pen in hand. "Thanks," she replied. The blessing sounded sincere enough, and from someone around her age. From early on, she had learnt to be a good judge of words. Words had told her that a particular voice belonged to her father. Another said that it was her mother, a different one her grandmother, another a dentist, another a boyfriend, and on the voices continued. They told her when she was eating an apple or holding a bruised pear. They told her that the leaves were green most of the time, and that the skies above Australia were a special kind of blue. "Hip-hop is not meant for white girls from Malvern," her mother's voice would plaintively call. And Anna had to trust when it said that she was from Malvern. She also had to trust when it said that she was white. "Big issue, $5, help the homeless." Anna didn't raise her hand, as she already had bought her copy yesterday and had left it on the train as a counterpoint to MX's. She took the last mouthful of her salad, and as she chewed, she wondered over the colour of quinoa. It tasted beige. "Your coffee," added a voice, accompanied with the soft clink of china and a waft of caffeine that made Anna's nostrils flare. "Thanks for that," a male voice replied, the same one who had blessed her sneeze. Having finished her mouthful, Anna slowly returned the record to its sleeve of green presidents and bling, extended a red-tipped walking cane, and led by the lure of waffles, made the first of 17 paces towards the station steps.